In this endeavor, no effort is ever rendered void and no obstacle ever prevails. Even a small measure of this dharma protects a person from a great fear. Now this refers to the movement of action. In other words, this particular chapter can be divided into two parts. By buddhi you can perceive what is knowledge. By the same buddhi you perceive what is action. By yoga in the Bhagavad Gita is meant karma yoga. Now this is also another point which very often is not understood, and that is why this chapter remains very ambiguous. In this chapter the word yoga is used for karma yoga. I shall explain to you later on in the history of yoga how this word came to mean karma yoga. But at the moment I'll just say very briefly that when the word yoga is used here, it is the reference is to karma yoga. So this chapter is actually a chapter on jnana yoga and karma yoga. And for both, the instrument is buddhi. Buddhi applied to knowledge, buddhi applied to action. So first of all, I said when buddhi is applied to knowledge, what is the knowledge you get? You get the knowledge of the eternal self. When you apply buddhi to karma, now what is the knowledge you will get? It is now, this is going to be expounded. But before saying anything, he says that if you apply this karma yoga, whatever effort you do, be sure of one thing, that no effort will be wasted and even a little bit of the effort will protect you from any fear. Now he expounds, O delighter of the race of Kuru, the intellect that ascertains the nature of the self is one-pointed, but the thoughts of one who desires the fruits of action are many and branched and endless. Buddhi will see that when it is attached to action, there are multiple branches. This particular perception itself is a starting point of karma yoga. You must know that karma yoga is rooted in the process of karma. And karma normally is referred always to fruits of action. This is our normal practice. All karma is referred to the fruits of action. And therefore Sri Krishna says that whoever perceives that actions are multi-branched, he becomes involved in the multiple branches and he doesn't know how to come out of it. O son of Partha, unwise men speak flowery words and are supposedly followers of the Vedas and are devoted to the various fruitive activities for devotion to heavenly planets, saying that apart from the ritualistic sacrifice there is nothing else. The answers are that you climb because this world in which we are living is very uncomfortable. This world is incomplete. Therefore, both for the sake of perfection and for the sake of arriving at a very comfortable living, happy living, these are the two motivations which impel you to move forward. The sense of misery and the sense of imperfection. These two motives, these two facts motivate you to move forward and upward. In this movement, there is a stage where you strive to attain higher and higher results. And as you climb, when the results are obtained, you have the tendency to enjoy them. Fruits of action are enjoyed. And when you start enjoying, then the effort that you have to make forward is diminished. You become absorbed in enjoyment, and you, where you are climbing, now the climbing becomes steady and you don't climb further. But then imperfection again besieges you. Again you have to climb upwards. Then you are asked to offer your enjoyments, sacrifice your enjoyments, and then you make a further effort and you move upward. Once again you begin to derive the fruits of action at a higher level, again you enjoy, and again you remain stuck there. All these processes, they went forward and they reached the peaks, highest peaks possible. Then they came to these three conclusions. One is, you should always climb. Climbing became the basic word of the Veda. That is why they said that everyone who climbs is Arya. The very word Arya is ar to climb, one who climbs, one who toils. So every human being in the world is destined to climb. Even if he doesn't want to climb, ultimately he will climb because of discomfort and because of imperfection. He is bound to climb. So the first is that everyone must climb. In the process of climbing, there are helpers and there are enemies. The enemies are of various kinds. There are rakshasas, there are pishachas, there is vritra. All kinds of blind and wicked forces are there in the world. These are the psychological experiences, not a theory, not a dogma. Anybody who tries to climb, you will find the presence of these forces. Anybody who tries. You may give different names. You may not rakshasas and pishachas, any names you give, dasyus, you can give another name. But you are bound to come across these forces. If Othello and Desdemona are in full love with each other, there is bound to appear Iago. He will come up suddenly and try to break this great harmony and great love. If Ram and Sita are living a life of great harmony and joy, then Ravana must come into the picture and destroy it. This is the experience. It's only a description of what is happening in the world.